Hi, I'm Tom Power. Welcome to Toy Harp, a podcast about bluegrass. This is the last episode of season two. Here from Nashville is my conversation with Allison Krauss.
I remember, you know, the first time I looked out in the audience and saw people singing words to our songs that only we had recorded. That was just a really crazy moment. Just never thought it'd end up being there. Never thought we'd hear back from Rounder. Yeah. Never thought we would hear from Rounder in the first place.
If this is your first time listening, you can hear full interviews with Jerry Douglas, Allison Brown, Bela Fleck, Larry Sparks, Jody Stecker, and so many more wherever you get your podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Later on.
That question you asked me, it's...
Did it remind you of your new record?
There's some very germane things to that question that I really... I'd rather let this do the talking than me doing some kind of a clumsy answer.
Welcome to the Travis Book Happy Hour Podcast. I'm Travis Book. This episode is brought to you by Thompson Guitars, makers of fine instruments, handmade with love in Sisters, Oregon. The podcast is presented by Americana Vibes and the Bluegrass Situation, and our show is part of the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network. You can dive into all things roots music anytime at thebluegrasssituation.com. I've shared the stage with Jim Lauderdale many times over the years and have always enjoyed his approach and attitude. Funny, self-effacing, eager to entertain, Jim's a gem and the most prolific songwriter and recording artist I know. I was honored that he agreed to join me for the happy hour, and I couldn't wait to edit this show and release it. This episode was recorded live at the Grey Eagle on November 30th, 2022.
Live from the Grey Eagle in Asheville, the Pearl of Carolina, it's the Travis Book Happy Hour. With special guest Jim Lauderdale. And the Happy Hour House Band featuring Mike Ashworth and Matt Smith. And now, your host, Travis Book.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for coming out tonight. Really excited about this. Think it's gonna be a good night.
Why we booby, tell me. Why we cry and tell me. Can we live together without pain? Burdens at our doorstep, burdens in our heart. It's time to let them travel and lay them down. From the tallest mountain down in the lowest valley, we're all asking, we want to know why we're climbing. Tell me why we're falling. Tell me where we're going. Yeah, we want to know. Rise, sun, rise. Rise, sun. Rise, sun. Rise. We've been hoping there's a new day coming, and it's not promised, but it's all we know. Can we quantify it? Can we try and name it? Try to fight it while we hold it close. Rise, sun, rise. Rise, sun. Rise, so rise.
So yeah, thank you all again for being here. This is the 28th episode of the Travis Book Happy Hour. Wild. And I owe an immense debt of gratitude to the Grey Eagle. You know, there are as many as 10 bands vying for every night of the week here at the Grey Eagle, in part because the Grey Eagle is so amazing and so legendary and the place to be in Asheville, and also just because everybody who plays music is out touring right now, and that's all the more reason that I just feel so grateful that you all decided to share your evening with us. You know, you could have done any number of things. There's probably 30 other great bands that are playing in town, great shows that are happening this week, and you know, the internet is amazing. I mean, we're broadcasting over the internet right now. You could have just sat on your couch and watched this whole show, but you're here, and I do appreciate that. But I know why you're here. And it's not just, you know, because I have a mustache or because of this man's amazing haircut. It's because you want to see what Jim Lauderdale's wearing tonight. And I will say this, he took it easy on us. It is easy on the eyes, but you know, Jim Lauderdale, I wrote this for Jim, so I'm gonna read it now, because I don't have a teleprompter. Jim Lauderdale, and it's true, at least I think it is, Jim Lauderdale is simply one of our greatest living songwriters, prolific, endlessly curious, humorous, and with a voice that you recognize from the very first note. Jim's given us the gift of 35 records and not a single bad song. He straddles so many lines, appeals to so many different types of music fans, and seems to maintain an endless optimism and positivity in the face of a fickle and ever-changing music industry. An insider and outsider, country and bluegrass, Nashville and North Carolina, he is the most Americana artist on the planet, his planet, the planet of love. Ladies and gentlemen, and everyone else, please welcome Jim Lauderdale.
Thank y'all.
That's Jim Lauderdale.
Jim, can I start by asking you a couple questions?
Sure, of course.
Okay, and would you like to sit? Or do you feel more comfortable standing?
Whatever you want. I want to, let's sit.
Okay,
let's sit.
Good. Let's keep it casual. Here we go. Oh yeah, that's nice. Jim, you were born in Troutman, North Carolina. Where is that?
Troutman, the hospital was in Statesville.
Okay.
And Troutman is right next to Statesville. And yeah, back in 1900, I was born back then. Yeah, and been around ever since.
We're lucky to have you. You came up in Due West, South Carolina, though, right? And is that due south of here,
or
is
it is.
Yeah, it is.
We from Troutman, we moved to Charlotte, and then Due West, my folks let me finish my last 2 years of high school in Chapel Hill, or Durham rather, at Carolina Friends School, and then I went to the North Carolina School of the Arts, and then almost became a mime instead of music, but music. One over.
Thank God. Your father was a Presbyterian minister.
Yeah.
That's so cool. There's been a couple people on this show who came up really, that's really like, it's one thing to go to church. It's another thing for the church to come to you. And when your dad's a Presbyterian minister, it was probably pretty much part of your life, part of the household.
Yeah. He was such a great guy. He and my mom.
I bet.
Both. My wonderful sister Becky, yeah.
And how did growing up in the church shape sort of like you're obviously a man who dabbles in matters of spirit,
to say that you are, but are you a religious person, or did you get away from that as you aged, as you matured into your own completely unique self?
I think so, but it's, gosh, that's a pretty deep question.
Yeah, I
think so. Yeah, I mean, I think so. I don't, though, hold myself to any, like to think that I'm setting a standard, though, for anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have beliefs and feelings and things about stuff. But you know, Travis, you told me, you said earlier, if you asked a question that I wanted to kind of get away from, that to talk about something else. So I just want to say one thing, but this ties in to your question, because you were talking about, in quantum physics, they say the thing about energy. It's everything is energy. You know, it's all energy. That's true. But how do we practically use that intellectual understanding about that? How does that, kind of change things? Well, I'll tell you something. Another thing is that I was mentioning to you backstage is, when you watch some news shows sometimes and they've got a panel of people and somebody inevitably has a new book. And so when they ask some question that even doesn't seem to relate to this answer, they'll say, well, I talk about that in the book. And, that's like early on. I mean, I cover that. And then like every question. So I just want to say that that question you asked me, it's...
Did it remind you of your new record?
There's some very germane things to that question that I'd rather let this do the talking than me doing some kind of a clumsy answer about that. Right? You know what I'm talking about?
And we can pick that up. We can pick that up here tonight, right? We don't have to go far. We can get our hands on that this evening.
That's right. We're going to do a few songs on that new record. If you'd like for us to, would you like that, ladies and gentlemen?
Jim, when did you first start writing music, writing songs?
You know, it's funny, Travis. It's like this, a reoccurring theme on here that kind of, gosh, this is almost like a biography. I mean, you want to know about Jim Lauderdale, you listen to Game Changer. I think this record, you're mentioning the records I've done. Those other ones were good, I mean, that they had, I'm not knocking them, but this one, whoo, yeah, check it out. But I think I was visiting Lenny and Bob Nesbitt in Troutman, North Carolina, who were like my surrogate grandparents. And Bob Nesbitt was a carpenter and a farmer, and he had this woodshed in back. And so I'd been playing the banjo, been playing bluegrass banjo, and was just, loved that and wanted to be a bluegrass banjo player. And this melody came to me, and it was this song called I'm Chopping Wood. And it was actually kind of an old-timey type frailing clawhammer song, but I didn't play that style, but that's what I was hearing. And so that was the first one. I think I was about 18. But then slowly, as people do, I think when they start some venture, at first you're thinking, nah, I can't, this is crazy, this stuff's not good, this is, what am I thinking, so, but then it went from there. yeah,
and here we are.
And here we are. It's led to here. Never would I have thought in those tender years that here would be tonight.
I honestly could say the same thing, Jim. I never really thought this would ever happen. And now here we are.
Here we are.
And now what do we do? I know. I'll ask you about Robert Hunter. Would you tell us a little bit about collaborating with Robert Hunter?
Sure.
You've done a couple records of his songs that you wrote together.
Actually, six. We've got six.
Are you messing with me?
No, I'm not. I was getting ready to do, you know, when I was mentioning I was loved playing bluegrass banjo, I eventually started playing rhythm guitar and writing and did a record with Roland White in Nashville. I'd moved to Nashville to hang out with George Jones and Roland White, and I didn't have the guts to, you know, kind of bother George Jones, but Roland was so kind and
so approachable,
and,
right?
Yeah, and took me under his wing, and so we did a duet record as I was about to leave Nashville, as I was thinking I'm not going to be able to make it here, and so I went to the second place you go to for country music, New York City, but we had this. I had this record under my belt with Roland, and I thought, well, this is it. You know, this is kind of, you know, the. Roland White, I mean, he's just so, I loved him so much. And, we couldn't get a record deal for it. So I started playing more country stuff and less bluegrass. But anyway, skip ahead to make a long story interminable. I eventually hooked up with Ralph Stanley, and they agreed to do a song on a country record I was doing for RCA, and I wanted to end the record with this. And so after we did that and I went to Merlefest for the first time, Ralph's son was sick, Ralph II, so I filled in for him, and I was just terrified because I usually sang Ralph's parts and not Carter Stanley's parts or the lead parts. And so, but it went, you know, we got through it. And then I got the courage later to ask Ralph, hey, would you consider doing a record with me? And he said yes. And so then I reached out through this friend of mine, Rob Bleetstein, who lives out in the Bay Area. I said, this might sound crazy, but would you somehow communicate with Robert Hunter and see if he'd possibly write something with me for this Ralph Stanley record? And so, you know, I knew that Robert and Jerry and were big Stanley Brothers fans and bluegrass fans, so he did. And so recorded those, and then he came to Nashville for about 2 months, and we ended up writing about 33 songs during this first visit. And then I made a record out of that called Headed for the Hills. And then a few years later, I went out and visited him in California, and we did a record called Patchwork River. And then a couple of bluegrass records, and then a blues rock record I did with the North Mississippi All-Stars, and then a solo acoustic record. And so, yeah, we've got six, but we wrote about 100 songs, because on some of my other records, there's a cut here and a cut there of stuff. But that was a real, you know, fantasy come true to get to write with him. He's was something.
That's incredible. You know, the statistic that I read is that you've put out somewhere around 35, maybe now 36 records.
Yeah, you know, statistics, stashmistics. I mean, who's counting?
And I would say, you know, I've been listening to a lot of your music, especially this last couple weeks. And you know, I think your latest records are like, they're the best records you've made. And I think your singing is as good as it's ever been.
I don't know. I mean, thank you, Travis. Hey, is talking about myself in the third person. I mean, we try. I mean, we, you know, do the best Jim can.
Jim, do good. Jim, do good. How are you experiencing? Is it getting as you mature, as you get more experienced? Is it getting easier to be amazing?
Well, First of all, I haven't matured yet, unfortunately. So the rest of the question, that is a moot point because I'm still slowly.
So next question.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you feel as inspired as ever?
Yes, I do. And I think I'm writing more than ever.
That's great news. That's good for us. At least I like to think so.
I kind of talk about that in here, about why. You know, why do I do it? It's in here, but I deal with that. It's the thing, it's cut three.
It's funny because the final question of this part of the interview was I was going to ask, why do you do it? What is it that, I mean, besides the obvious answers of needing to play music or, you know, needing to pay bills or pay the mortgage, why do you...
I'm waiting for the spit take.
Go Lady, ahead. That's it. Why do you do what you do? Why do you do it? What are you thinking?
Travis, I don't know why. Why is the sky blue? Why does a coyote walk through the desert on a cool evening with the full moon searching for something other than food? I don't know.
I don't know.
No,
we can never know.
I mean, it's like I think any writer or musician, you do it because there's something in you, you just kind of have to.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, can we do it?
You know
what? Can we get to it?
I was originally going to play a few songs, but I'm enjoying the interview so much. I'd rather, I mean, to me, this is more... This is a new side of me to talk about me, and I like it. So, I mean, if it's all the same to you, let's just talk for a while. Can we?
No.
No? Well, hey, the audience is always right.
Yeah.
So we'll play
some. Don't worry. I split the interview into two segments now, so you can gather your energy again. And we'll touch on some other uncomfortable topics in just a minute. But if you would, ladies and gentlemen, that's Mr. Jim Lauderdale right there. Let's get the band out here and let's play a few tunes for you. Thanks for everyone for being so patient. I can't tell now if which part is actually the main event of the show. I don't even really know. You can let us know at the end.
Wait, was that real? What is
any of this real?
Yeah, that's right, Travis. Is any of this real? What is real?
What is real?
Yeah.
Will you remind me what we're starting with?
Yes. Let's do. You were mentioning Robert Hunter, and here's a song we wrote out in California. It's called Patchwork River. Your farmer say, excuse me, please. Those were the days, but so are these. Pull over, park, turn off the key. Let's go walking, just you and me. Sometimes, always, sometimes, never. Been that way, damn near forever. Promises that don't deliver. Let's set down the Patchwork River. Patchwork River. Patchwork River, me and Joe Farmer walk down together. Talk about hopes, talk about schemes, talk about salvage and some of our dreams. Well, heard Joe Farmer say, if I may, serve you breakfast from a supper tray. Got no eggs, but I saved some shell. Lost the clapper, but I found the bell. This man's father is that man's son. Brothers or sisters, has he none? Looks in the shaving glass, what's he see? Looks like mama, but he talks like me. Patchwork River, Patchwork River. Me and Joe Farmer walk down together. Tell a few jokes at our own expense.
about life on the other side of the fence. Well, heard your farmer say don't be shy, same rules apply as in days gone by. Styles may vary and the lingo bend, what it all boils down to in the end. Pay your dues and take your chance, don't mistake hunger for romance. Forgiveness is nifty, but enough's enough when they keep on pulling that same old stuff. Patchwork river, patchwork river, me and your farmer walk down together. Talk about wealth and the worry it brings, lack of satisfaction and other things. Vision is simple by moonlight, everything black and white, no colors to construe, just a change of black and blue. Softer tones, fewer voices, freedom from too many choices. A newborn moon's a silver sliver, gleaming on a patchwork river. Just in case you feel like cutting right to the chase, I would never stand in your way. There's just one thing I wanna say. What you do for love alone will last, the rest just clutters up your past. But if you don't know that much by now, you're never gonna learn it anyhow. Patchwork river, patchwork river, me and your farmer walk down together. I talk about hopes, talk about schemes, talk about salvaging some of our dreams. Patchwork river flowing with song, patchwork clouds just drifting along. Talk about hopes, talk about schemes, talk about salvaging some of our dreams.
Thanks, everybody. Y'all have been great. Have a great night. Happy holidays. We'll see you soon. Sorry. I just got a little carried away there. Y'all are... I found a new planet that only I can see. Just came back to get you. Let's leave this misery. Nothing can reach us so far from harm's way. Only sunshine, rainbows every day. We've got to get back there. Hurry up and get your things. The countdown has started. Go ahead, try on these wings. Don't need no spaceship for what I'm thinking of. Didn't I tell you that I'd take you to the planet of love?
Thank you.
don't revolve around the sun. We'll make a new start there. The journey's just begun. Won't get into trouble in our new world so far above. Didn't I tell you that I'd take you to the planet of love? Didn't I tell you that I'd take you to the planet of
Thank you. Mighty fine. Mighty fine.
Hey, friends. If you're enjoying my interview with Jim Lauderdale, I encourage you to check out Episode 7 with songwriter Benny Galloway, Episode 15 with Vince Herman from Leftover Salmon, or Episode 20 with Graham Sharp of the Steep Canyon Rangers. As always, thanks for listening, and after the show, please leave us a review.
Okay, well, let's see. Where are we in the set list?
Where are we in general?
Oh, okay. I'll tell you what. Let's, you know, it's like I say, there's so many answers to things in this album. I mean, there's no softball answers in here. This is the hard-hitting stuff musically that somehow all connects, and you hear it and understand it, hopefully. And but let's do another song off of this baby right here. This one is about this situation, which probably everybody has gone through out there. Has anybody out there ever been close friends with somebody, and then for some reason you have a falling out and you're not friends anymore? Has that ever happened to anybody? And you know that it's terrible. But how about it? Isn't it sweet, though, when you're able to somehow, you know, fix things and your friends again? Has that happened to anybody? Okay, good. I was afraid if it would have been quiet, I'd really... Thank you. Thank you for saying that. And I'll tell you what. I mean, here's a prime example. I mean, these guys up here, I mean, we were as thick as thieves a few years ago, and then, you know, before COVID, it's like, I don't know, it seemed like every time I'd get around them, you know, they'd maybe be talking amongst themselves and laughing and everything, and then I'd walk up, and then it'd be like, hey, what's going on, man? And it, you know, and this kind of stuff would happen, and it was starting, they were, you know what it was? Which I realize what this word means now, they were gaslighting me. They were making me feel like I was losing my mind. And this went on, and we were so close. And then sometimes I'd like want to tell them some problem of mine, or, you know, talk about my day or something like that. And they just seemed so disinterested. And this would, I mean, and it hurt my feelings. It really did. You know, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know if I want to do this song anymore. But no, I should, because we did have this reconciliation. And now it's like nothing ever happened. And they probably consider me their best friend now. So it all worked out. Anyway, without any further ado, here is one called Friends Again. Friends again. Friends again. Thank goodness we've come back around. I'm happy that we're friends again. I can't remember what went wrong, and I don't care. I'm sorry for my share. Friends again. Friends again. Thank goodness we've come back around. I'm happy that we're friends again. We're friends again. That song has taken on a new meaning. When I wrote it, I was hoping for this to happen, and it has. So,
Jim, is it all right if I ask you a few more questions before we play some more music?
Of course. Nothing's too personal. Whatever you want. I'm an open book, and you can hear it right here. Anything you want to know, it's here.
In your CD?
Yeah.
Okay. Jim, do you want to sit again?
Sure.
You want to go all the way back down to the seat? Yeah. Jim, can I ask you about that guitar you're holding?
Sure. This is a, I went into George Gruen's guitar shop in Nashville. It used to be downtown on Broadway. And so I went in there one day and saw this guitar. It's Collings is the brand. And they're made in Austin, Texas. And so I, you know, usually in bluegrass and country and stuff, it's kind of a natural finish. It's like a, you know, tan color, yellowish color. But I saw this is what you call a sunburst. And so I thought, well, shoot, you know, it's like I do bluegrass gigs and stuff like that. It might seem kind of weird or whatever, and also in country stuff. And I just thought, well, there was just something about this guitar that really, you know, spoke to me. And so I got it and later named her Coco, you know, and have really, some of these are from an all-night jam session by a campfire down at the Spirit of Sewanee at Springfest one year, and I stayed up all literally till about, I think it was about 7-ish in the morning, and playing with these Jeb Puryear of Dawn of the Buffalo, and Tara came by, and this group called Emma Gibbs that lived in Winston-Salem. They're no longer together, but they were playing down there, and we just had such a great time. But I was wearing one of those snap shirts, and it was opened, and I wasn't really paying attention to what I was doing. And I came back from Liverpool, England, a few years ago, and I was doing this show at the time called Music City Roots that I was part of. And I had not taken Coco out of the case. And when I was getting ready to go on stage, I was running late as usual. It's like I always say, I'm going to be late for my own reincarnation. And so I pulled this out and I was like, I got to get on stage. What song should I do? And then when I pulled Coco out, there was a crack all the way around. And but I got it fixed at Glazer Guitars there in Nashville. But I was reluctant to fly much with Coco after that. So and but I'm kind of taking her out of her early retirement and playing Coco a little more.
I'm glad you brought Coco. That thing's that thing's probably bound for the Smithsonian, as far as I can tell. Do you primarily still write mostly on that guitar? Or do you write on all the, I mean, I know you've got three guitars in tow.
I just kind of with whichever one, and I realize too, I think you've probably done this, and a lot of guitar players, you go and try to find that holy grail guitar or guitar pickup or guitar preamp or whatever. And but then you realize with songwriting, it doesn't really matter, you know, and it's more of like, hey, wait a minute, I'm procrastinating, and you know, I could have been writing right now instead of, you know, messing around with guitars. But
do you find sometimes you'll pick up a different instrument and it has like a different inspiration, like you pull a song will come out that could have kind of only come out of that instrument.
Yes, yeah, that has happened.
That's kind of fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's like the excuse for having a lot of guitars around.
That's right. That's, you know? Yeah, that's the.
How many songs do you think you've written on that thing?
A few hundred.
Yeah,
at least.
I would say so. How long have you had it?
Since 94.
Well, you've done a good job wearing it out.
Yeah.
Well done. How much do you write? How many songs do you write a month? Is it an ongoing process? Does it come in spurts?
It does. And usually, for me, one of my, you know, when you co-write with somebody, you set aside a certain time and get together with them. And a lot of times, you will write something you never, I mean, not a lot of times, but I think usually you'll write something that you've never, you couldn't have written it by yourself, you know. But then when I write alone, those songs tend to take a lot longer. And I get song ideas a lot, but then to sit down and really flesh them out, I usually have to plan some studio time with musicians and book them and everything. Then it's like, okay, I've got to come up with something here for these folks to play. And so it's kind of like Luther Dickinson of the North Mississippi All-Stars. I was feeling very embarrassed about that when we were in the studio. And he said, and his dad was a producer named Jim Dickinson. And he's the guy that played piano on Wild Horses there with the Stones. He was in Muscle Shoals, just a, you know, great, incredible musician. And so Luther said, well, it's like Dad always used to say, necessity is the mother of invention. So it, for me, I kind of need that pressure or structure or whatever a lot of time for my stuff I'm writing alone. I talk about that. You know, it's funny. That's I deal with that in here.
If you had to guess, how many songs do you think you've written?
I remember years ago reading, this sounds like I'm deflecting your question, but I'm not. But I was reading some article in Songwriter Magazine, and Barry Gibb said something like, oh, I wrote like 1,000 songs before, you know, I really started writing or something like that. And so I was counting up my songs, that it wasn't anything near that. But I think I'm maybe close to that amount now, maybe.
So maybe you're about to get your own Staying Alive.
That's right.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
You're about to hit it.
Hey, wouldn't it be a shame if I wrote something that sold as much as that, right, ladies and gentlemen? Huh?
What is your favorite song that you've ever written, or if you like, what do you think is the best song you've ever written?
You know, Travis, songs are like those thousand songs are like my kids, and I can't pick. I like each one of those thousands as much as the other 100 or so, or 980 or whatever. I can't choose. That wouldn't be fair to them. And, you know, songs have feelings like guitars. You know, you don't play a guitar for a long time. I'm not kidding. But you don't play a guitar for a long time. And you kind of get this, you know, they kind of show you a little bit. It's like, really? You're going to ignore me a little more? Really? Let's see how you do on this. See how it feels. So, you know, guitars do that. And so that's why, out of superstition, I'd better not say what my favorite songs are.
Well, I was gonna ask you some other questions that involved your favorites, but I don't feel like I can now.
No, it's as long as it's not about guitars or songs, I'm fine.
Okay, what is your favorite place to perform?
Ah, boy. You know, in quantum physics, that's right. You know, this place, I have played here many times, and I, you know, tonight, this is all we've got right now. It's now. You know, when I was in high school, I went to see Ram Dass. Remember him? And, you know, wrote this book called Be Here Now. And there, by the way, there used to be a place here in town I played at a few times. Once with Lucinda Williams when I was in her band called Be Here Now. But we're being here now at the Gray Eagle, aren't we, folks, huh?
All right, I just got one more for you.
Oh, I was just getting warmed up.
I know. It's okay. You'll have the stage for as long as you'd like. So
okay.
We can really keep this going.
All right, good.
But the last thing I really wanted to ask you is, you know, you've won Grammy Awards. You've won Americana Music Awards. You've collaborated with so many people, made all these incredible records. You have an incredible reputation. Your legacy is secured, Jim. Keep drinking. Is there anything that you have not accomplished? That you would like to?
You know, Travis, the getting to kind of being back to the now, what I'd like to accomplish more than anything is getting Matt Smith and Mike Ashworth up here to play
Jim Lauderdale,
with you,
everyone.
Travis Book.
Thank you. That's Jim Lauderdale. We'll play some more music for you.
How are you guys doing out there, by the way? Oh, okay. Yeah, see, I was waiting for a question. I feel kind of lost without somebody leading me. Hi. Welcome. You like eagles? This is the place. This is where it's happening for them. They're all over here. You go outside, they'll be flying all over the place, clutching small animals or whatever. But you'll see them. You hang around here long enough. hey, let's. Here's a song that you chose for us to do. No, I'm kidding. We collaboratively chose these. It was a group
I think you picked this one.
But who's counting? But anyway, this song is when I moved out to California for a while. I wanted to hang out in some of the haunts that one of my heroes named Graham Parsons did. And I was also a huge George Jones fan, and just crazy about both of those guys. And there was a biography about Graham by a fellow named Sid Griffin, and it was the first one. And I was sitting there in this apartment of mine in a place called the Magic Hotel in Hollywood, and I was reading this biography, and there was a story about how Graham had a party one time in Hollywood, and he was playing George Jones's records, and he started crying, and he said, "That's the king of broken hearts." And so when I read that, this song came out. The king of broken hearts doesn't ask much from his friends, and he has quite a few of them. They know he will understand. It's just the way it goes. The king of broken hearts doesn't know he's a king. He's trying to forget other things, like some old chilly scenes. He's walking through it long. He talks to angels and the stars start to spin. He thinks of troubles that he's gotten in. He recalls how his heart got broken. Hearts, he is so sad and wise. He can smile while he's crying inside. But we know he'll be brave tonight, 'cause he's the king of broken hearts. Thinks that he's an old fool. He's a little bit like me and you. So what's a king like that supposed to do with all that blue time? We know he'll be brave tonight, 'cause he's a king of broken hearts. Thank you. Thank you. All right, well, this next one is, I was working on this little jewel for a while, and then the pandemic came, and I thought, and I didn't really even play music for a while. I just felt so strange, like, you know, so many of us did. You know, it's just such a confusing time and a terrible time. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to put this aside for a little while. And I wrote a record that I thought, you know, then it kind of helped me get out of things. And I was thinking, you know, I'd really like to write some uplifting things and hopeful things for folks. And so I did this record called Hope. And this song is about those situations. I was, you know, also during this time we had for, you know, for such a long time, it was such a reflective time for us too. And I started thinking of those instances where, boy, that time when this person did that, if they hadn't have done that for me, things would be totally different. Just that one thing that they just did kind of as a favor or kind of casually did. And there are so many of those things, and I'm sure that that's happened to everybody in here. And we get those chances too, and we'll continue to have those. And this one's called The Opportunity to Help Somebody Through It.
Right on. One, two, three.
Seems like forever, but it hasn't been that long. Don't say never, you could ever be that strong. The opportunity to help somebody through it, the chance that they might need with help in getting by. Someday somebody's gonna ask, how did you do it? It just took a little try. Be sad and lonely, there'll be other times for that. Let's get out, why don't we, and hit the trouble where it's at. The opportunity to help somebody through it, the chance that they might be to help in getting by. Someday somebody's gonna ask, how did you do it? It just took a little try. Time to move. It feels good to get some traction while you're howling at the moon. The opportunity to help somebody through it, the chance that they might need with help in getting by. Someday somebody's gonna ask, how did you do it? It just took a little try. Somebody do it, the chance they might need will help and get by. Someday somebody's gonna ask, how did you do it? It just took a little try.
Thank you. Hey, let's hear it for these guys up here on guitar and pedal steel, Matt Smith. Back on drums, Mike Ashworth. And of course, over here on bass,
Travis Book.
Thank you.
It's really great to... Now, where are these guys from, you might ask, those of you at home? Gosh, did you fly these guys in from New York, L.A., Nashville? You know what? They're from right here in Asheville. There's such a great music scene here, and these guys are a big part of it, and it's a real pleasure to get to play with y'all tonight. I guess we'd better get back to basics now. Back to this. It serves a lot of different purposes, too. Very refreshing. But this song is the one when I started this record. Excuse me. Oh, gosh. Hi, I'm getting ready to go to my seventh grade math class. But anyway, hey, let's edit that out of the Facebook Live thing. Cancel. But where was I? Something about me. Oh, yes. So this one is when I was going into the studio. This one I knew would have to kick off the record, and it's called That Kind of Life. Friends again. Oh, hi. Hey. Hi. Hi. Remember me? We're friends again. We are friends again. Now, I can't remember what song we were going to do. No, I'm kidding. Here we go. Let's do That Kind of Life, That Kind of Day.
When a baby tastes a little bit of sunshine, kicks their legs and bounces up and down, grins and laughs and everything is so fine, we want to keep them that way for a while. They all grow up and everything is different, the way that history comes into play. I hope their hopes will come through while they're growing, and they'll have that kind of life, kind of day. Go through all you must do, and know that while you're getting where you're going. Go through, don't go away, and have that kind of life, kind of day. Guitars just laying there ripe for the picking, sitting lonely waiting to be played. You get to make the music that you're hearing, to hear it home will carry you away. Someday when finally things are back to normal, but what is normal these days, you might say. I hope your hopes will come through while you're waiting, and you'll have that kind of life, that kind of day. Go through all you must do, and know that while you're getting where you're going. Go through, don't go away, and have that kind of life, that kind of day. Everybody wants that kind of feeling, for things to go a little more their way. I hope your hopes will come through while you're waiting, and you'll have that kind of life, that kind of day. Go through all you must do, and know that while you're getting where you're going. Go through, don't go away, and have that kind of life, that kind of day. And have that kind of life, that kind of day.
That's Jim Lauderdale, yeah. Everybody.
This has been the Travis Book Happy Hour Podcast. Thanks for listening. Huge thanks to Jim Lauderdale, Mike Ashworth, Matt Smith, Thompson Guitars, Americana Vibes, and The Bluegrass Situation. If you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe and leave a positive review. It really helps us out. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Travis Book Happy Hour and online at thetravisbookhappyhour.com. And remember, it's okay to be happy.